make New Year's resolutions right now. We decide what we want to do. I mean, maybe you've got a goal for this year that you want to do more physical exercise. You maybe want to lose weight, maybe become better at balancing a budget, being more organized. There's an unlimited list of things that you can do to make for a New Year's resolution. I myself, you know, I got to say something about my cycling. Last year, I made a goal, a New Year's resolution, to ride 2,000 miles, and I rode 2,050. I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm excited about that, stuck through it, and this year I am planning on 2,500. So, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But I also want to do some personal goals, like lose 15 pounds and just different things that I want to do. And many of you have set goals like that. But I want to encourage you this year, go ahead, set your physical goals, but remember to set spiritual goals this year. What we're going to be doing this week is we're joining with all the Assembly of Gods across the country and possibly across the world, and we're talking about believing God to do greater things in 2016. 14:12, the scripture, we'll put it up here for you. In John 14:12 is a scripture that they're using as their text for this week. And it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Do you have that put up there, Joe? All the slides are gone. He told you we were having trouble. I'll repeat that again for you. In John 14:12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." I know most of you are familiar with that verse this morning. You've heard that verse before. But think about it for a minute. Jesus is saying the works that he does, and greater than these, we will be able to do. What are some of the things that he's done? He's healed the sick. He's healed lepers. He's healed people with palsy. He made the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, gave sight to the blind, cast demons out of people. He raised the dead. That's one bad dude. Took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. Walked on water. That's just a few of the things I can think of just right now that he did. And this word is saying these things and greater than these he will do, we can do. I have a question for you this morning. Why are we not seeing that happen in our lives? Why are we not seeing that happen in our church, in this community, in churches? We don't see it. In churches, in the country, we see pockets of things happen, but why are we not consistently see God move and do greater things? Why are we not? You know, I realize that we are an ultra-conservative Holland, Michigan here. You can't get much more conservative than Holland, Michigan. But the sign out there says Assembly of God. That means we're Pentecostal. That means we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in this place. I got a crazy idea this morning. What if we believe God at His Word? What if we believe that when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover? What if we believe God that our missions giving would double this year? It's already awesome. But why not farther? What if we believe God that this place would double in size? What if we believe God that we would win 10 people to the Lord this year? That God would put 10 people on our path and that we would win 10 people for the Lord? Just something to think about this morning. You know, there's a scripture out there that backs the scripture up that we just read, and it's one that all of you are familiar with, found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20. It says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what? Signs following. Amen. I want to encourage us to dare to believe that God's word will do what it says. I want to talk to you this morning about putting the dream back into our heart. Having that feeling we had when we first gave our life to the Lord. I remember reading some of these scriptures when I first gave my life to the Lord and thinking, wow. And we get in the, 19 years now since I gave my life back to the Lord. And we get into that routine of doing the same thing every week. But he's saying that we can lay hands on sick, they will recover. He's saying that we can do the things that he did and even greater things. I want to talk to you about getting the passion back this year. Believing God to do greater things this year than you could even imagine. I want to tell you a story real quick out of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the story, just to set it up, it's about a lady named Hannah. And Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, which was pretty common in that day. Hannah was one, and a lady named Peninnah, was the other one. Peninnah had many children, but Hannah had none. She was barren. Every year, Elkanah would take his families to the tabernacle at a place called Shiloh to worship the Lord and to bring a sacrifice to him. Elkanah would celebrate every year when they did this by also giving presents to all of them, to all the kids, gave all presents to them, but he could only give one to Hannah.
I have a green mic, so it fits me up.
But he could only give one gift to Hannah, and that was because of the fact that she had no children. Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, would take it even a step farther, and she would make fun and she would tease Hannah for not having any children, the fact that she couldn't give birth to any children. And she had so many kids, she would rub it in her face. And I want to start reading at verse 7 through 20 of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7. It says, every year it was the same. Peninnah was scoffing and laughing at her as they went to Shiloh, making her cry so much she couldn't eat. What's the matter, Hannah? Elkanah would explain. Why aren't you eating? Why make such a fuss over having no children? Isn't having me better than having 10 sons? One evening after supper, when they were at Shiloh, Hannah went over to the tabernacle. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance. She was in deep anguish and was crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven, if you will look down upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. And he'll be yours for your entire lifetime, and his hair shall never be cut. Eli noticed her mouth as she was praying silently, and hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your bottle. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I'm not drunk, but I am very sad, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Please don't think that I am some drunken bum. In that case, Eli said, cheer up. May the Lord of Israel grant you your petition, whatever it is. Oh, thank you, sir, she explained and went happily back and began to take her meals again. The entire family was up early the next morning and went to the tabernacle to worship the Lord. Once more, then they returned home to Ramah, and when Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her petition. In the process of time, a baby boy was born to her. She named him Samuel, meaning asked of God, because as she said, I asked the Lord for him. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just help me to share this word this morning, dear God, that you would help us, to, Lord, to catch the vision and to believe for greater things this year, dear God. I praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hannah was a lot like each and every one of us in this place. She had problems. There's sin in this world. All of us have problems we deal with because Adam and Eve sinned back originally, so there's sin in this world. We're going to have problems. We're going to have tribulations and trials. Nothing's perfect. But Hannah had a couple problems. One of the things she had was she was unable to have children. The problem wasn't on Elkanah's end because Elkanah could have children. He had them with Peninnah. So the issue was definitely on Hannah's end. And you know, if we compare this to what we're talking about today, a lot of the problem that we're having is on our end and not necessarily on God's end. We're barren. We're unable to have spiritual children, basically. We're barren in this place. And just like Elkanah, the problem is not necessarily on God's end, it's on our end. God has everything that you and I need. He's already said it in His Word that we could do these things. But not only was Elkanah having a problem with not having children, but she had somebody that was constantly intimidating her for the fact that she couldn't have those children, which was Peninnah, Elkanah's wife. She would constantly point out that she could have no children, laughing and carrying on to the point that Hannah would cry about it. And really, if you think about it, isn't that a lot like the devil? Always throwing up things that you can't do in your face, always telling you what you can't do. And he'll put people in your path, a lot of times Christians, to tell you you can't do something. You can't do this. You can't do that. And Elkanah had that problem. She could have very easily gave up and said, you know what? I'm not going to have no children. I'm going to live my life and go through each day for the rest of my life barrenless or barren. But she chose not to. Hannah chose to believe for greater things. She found herself broken before the Lord. She began to pray and began to seek after the Lord. She prayed and confessed her inability to have a child and turned her request over to the Lord and turned it to God, who is the answer to all her problems. She prayed with all her heart, with persistence. She got on her face and she prayed to the Lord, so much so that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk because she did it. How passionate her prayers were. Matthew 7 and 7 and 8 sums up what she did. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Those that seek, they will find. They that knock, the door shall be opened. Hannah did that. And she got the answer to her prayer. She got what she needed. Hannah did a step further than that too, because she also made a vow to the Lord that she wanted a child so bad that she was willing to give it back to the Lord. And ultimately, if you read the story through, she does do that. She gives that child, after she raises him for a little bit, she gives the child back to the Lord and lets him serve the Lord. Takes him to Eli, the priest. Hannah received the greater thing that she requested. Hannah prayed and believed God for a son, and God heard her prayers and answered them. So a son named Samuel was born. She named him Samuel. Samuel means asked of God. She even named him that. We serve a God here this morning that wants to do greater things through us. He wants to do bigger things than we could ever have imagined. And you have a fresh start this morning. The rapture hasn't taken place. God is not here. Well, God is here, excuse me. God has not came back for us. We've not died. We have a chance to start fresh today in 2016 and believe God to do greater things in this place. We have potential to have the biggest, most awesome year we've ever had in this church. Unlike anything we've ever imagined. And the choice is really on us. I want to tell you a few things we can learn from Hannah this morning. One thing is she knew where to go for an answer. She got on her knees and she prayed to God. She sought after the Lord. Hannah came before the Lord broken and was driven to get that answer. I quite frankly think this is a lot of our problem in the church today. We want everything now. And God says, seek after me. Go after me with all you got. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this week with this week of prayer. We're going to spend some time seeking after the Lord for 2016 this week. To pray and just to seek the Lord. Another thing Hannah did is she didn't allow the devil or people for that matter to tell her what she could and couldn't do. She very easily could have gave up. But if you want something from God, go after it with all you got. Don't let anybody tell you you can't have that. If she would have listened to people, she would have never had that child. But she didn't. She believed God for greater things. She went to God about it. And then third, if you want something bad enough, you can have it. What is it that you want this morning? Where do you want to be in your relationship with God by the end of 2016? Hannah wanted a baby, and she got it. What does this church want to do in this year? What do we want to believe God for? I want to challenge you guys this morning to be like Hannah. To not be satisfied with a barren life. To not be satisfied with going through the motions every day and coming to church every Sunday and it being a chore to come to church. But come to church and it be alive and full of life, full of passion, full of hunger. To cross the line this morning and say, I no longer want the life that I've been living, but I want to go further. God wants us to excel every year in our life and go further and further with Him and get closer and closer to Him. That we would pray that a fresh fire would enter this place, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit would flood this place, that the presence of God, when you walk into this sanctuary, would just be overflowing. You know, I came from revival, 1996, I'm sorry. I came from revival, and I came in a presence of God where people were driving down the road, and they would turn in and not know why they were turning in, and it was because the presence of God was so powerful in the church. When it comes to spiritual things, I want to encourage you this morning to pray big. You know, this could be taken as some kind of prosperity message or something like that this morning, but it's not. I'm talking about spiritual things this morning. I'm talking about going after God this morning. God is able to do more than you can ask or think. I like 1 John 5:14-15, if you want to put it up there, Joe. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I like to personalize that. And this is the confidence that I have in Him, that if I ask anything according to His will, He hears me. And if I know that He hears me whatsoever I ask, I know that I have the petitions I desire of Him. Father, I pray that I be able to lay hands on the sick and they be healed. That they would be healed and set free. The key here this morning is to do like Hannah did. Come to the Lord in prayer with what you need and take it by faith. The key is to believe for greater things this morning. Keegan, if you want to go ahead and come up here. This morning, the altar call is basically I want to invite all of you down here to make a commitment that in 2016 you'll not be satisfied with what your life has been. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter how close you are to the Lord, you want more. I want to encourage you to come down here to the altar. Let's go ahead and stand up together. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, this is a great time for you to come down to the altar. Give it to the Lord. But I want to encourage each and every one of you to come down here, believe God for greater things. This evening, we're going to be praying at 5 o'clock for the impossible. The theme tonight is believing for the impossible. I believe that God's going to do some incredible things in this place if we will go after Him. And I want to encourage you to be out here tonight. But I want to invite you down here at the altar just a time to be able to give the Lord and tell Him you want more of Him this morning. Tell Him that you want to be baptized with a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit in your life this morning, that you want more of Him, that you want to do greater things this year than you've ever done. Begin to pray for this church, that it would pray for the pastors of this church, pray for the leaders in this church, that we would be able to go farther than we've ever been this year. And that we can just, this whole church, go to a new level. Let's go ahead and come down here to the altar and just call on the Lord this morning. Praise You, Father God. Thank You, Lord. Glory to Your name, O Lord.